श्री गणेशाय नमः। ओम श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं परमानंदमाधवं। ओम वांग मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितं आविरावीर्मयेधि वेदस्य महानिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीहि अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् संदधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम् अवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम्। ओम शांति शांति ही शांति ही। ओम शंकरम शंकराचार्यम केशवम बादरायणम सूत्र भाष्य कृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवत् व्याप्त देहाय श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीकृष्ण गोविंद हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। So in the last session, we were looking at shloka number 38. That's where we left in the last session. Before we move on and come back to the 38th shloka to explain it further, there are a couple of things I would want to cover from the topics which I covered in the last two podcasts especially. The first thing I want to cover is that when Bhagwan talks about fame and, you know, dishonor, or, you know, the thing which gets destruction of fame, what Bhagwan talks about, there is one thing which we need to know about the destruction of fame also. When we talk about fame, fame is not just, you know, expressed in terms of word or the, you know, name spread across. There are some kind of fame or defame which are very subtle in nature. For example, somebody in the society is a very, very well-known person. He's pretty popular and he's known everywhere. And he's also invited for a function, for example. Now, in that function, many people are invited. And they, you know, felicitate everyone and they forget to felicitate him. Because, you know, he's also one of the people in the whole thing. So there were other important people also who were there in that function. They felicitated all other people, but they forgot to felicitate him. That is also a kind of insult. It's a kind of, you know, a name being destroyed over there, actually, to be honest with you. I'll give you one example which comes in Ramcharitmanas. This episode many people know. When Daksha Prajapati had something going in his mind against Lord Shiva, and he wanted to insult Lord Shiva. Now, he has no capacity to insult Lord Shiva at all. What he can do? Unki kya aukaat hai? Bhagwan Shiva ki ninda karne ki, ya unke naam ko kharaab karne ki. There's no capacity he has to actually even destroy the name of Lord Shiva. So what he did, now directly he can't do anything. He can't say anything wrong also. So he organized a big yajna, a big sacrificial fire ceremony he organized, yaga he organized. And what he did to insult Lord Shiva, he did not send invite to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva came to know, he laughed, he said, oh, this is what you can do, doesn't matter. He laughed and he went back into his samadhi. Mother Sati, she felt the, you know, felt bad about this whole thing. So she went to Lord Shiva and she says that, no, he's my father, so doesn't matter, he may have forgotten to invite you, we should go. Lord Shiva said, no, that's not the case. You do not know the detail of it. Definitely, I should not go. When your father doesn't want me to go, I will not go. There is a lot of description in Ramcharitmanas about it, but I'm not coming to that point. And so Mother Sati said, no, is it okay if I go? So Bhagwan Shiva told Mother Sati that, you know, I would not recommend you to go, but if you insist, he's your father, I won't stop you either. So Mother Sati went. Now, the other way to represent an insult being inflicted upon Lord Shiva, what he did, he organized seat for everyone. He did not put an asan for Lord Shiva there, even though Lord Shiva did not go. When Mother Sati went there, she saw that there is an asan and place to sit for everyone except Lord Shiva. She felt very, very insulted about the whole thing. And she suddenly remembered what Lord Shiva said, that, you know, don't go. And then that episode comes with that she decides that, you know, this body has come from you as my father. You know, the kind of thing you have done, I don't think it's right. So I don't want to keep this body at all. And she jumps into that sacrificial fire and loses her life. That's the story of Mother Sati which comes. So, you know, insult can be inflicted in subtle ways also. We need to remember that. That's one thing which I wanted to just cover back. That it's not necessarily, verbally only insult can be inflicted. There are subtle ways also to, inflict insult on someone or put them down in some way. That's one thing. Second thing I wanted to bring out is Pooja Maharaj Sri Swami Akhandananji used to say that, 90% sorrow comes from where we have already had or derived happiness. That which has been a source of happiness for us, actually sorrow comes from there only. He used to say that 90% of them comes from there. I'll just take it back and think over it. Body gives us happiness, but sorrow also comes from body. Relations gives us happiness, but relations can give us sorrow also. There are, you know, sorrows which come from relations as well. The same thing I'll do for job. A job we do usually for happiness, and it does give happiness to actually most of us, or all of us, I would say. That is why we even are excited and motivated to go for a job. But then that job can also become a cause of our, a reason for our sorrow also. So he used to say, Pooja Maharaj Sri used to say, that 90% it is seen in the world that sorrow always comes from where we have already derived happiness before. So that's another thing which I wanted to talk about. The third thing I wanted to talk about is that I spoke about one thing when we become, too much duty bound ourselves without the role of God in the place. One thing which can pop up in our inner side is our inner equipment or our antakarana is ego. So I told you in that session that ego is such thing which is like a reason or a cause or a root of many other problems. And I spoke about asmita and klesh over there. Asmita means I am special. When the moment you think that you are special and different from others, you will always treat others a little lower than anything else. You will always put them down. Even if they come to give you knowledge, you won't be able to take that knowledge at all, even though the knowledge is good. I'll give you one example there. When Hanumanji went to Lanka, he went to Ravan's assembly. When he went to search for Mother Sita, and he found her, and then he went to Ravan's assembly, he explained it to Ravan that it is good for you that you give back Mother Sita, and I am very sure Lord Rama is going to forgive you. But at that point in time, there is one word which Ravana uses against Hanumanji. He says, "Is now has such bad days come for us that we have to take knowledge from a monkey." He said that word in Ramcharitmanas. It is pretty descriptive about that. And he says, "Is kapi guru bad gyani." Now such days have come for us that for a monkey is become like a guru for us. And he did not give any attention to what Hanumanji said, even though Hanumanji said absolutely good advice to Ravana. But Ravana, in a state of ego, he said that now such days have come that we have to take jnana from monkey, he just completely ignored, bypassed, or did not give, hear the thing at all. I told you, one of the things which ego, stops us from is that it will not let us become a disciple. It will not let us become a student. We will always be open when we listen to someone, even if though somebody else may be giving absolutely perfect knowledge, but will we always be looking, I'm not sure, or what to accept from him and what not to accept. So you are even bigger than the person who's giving the knowledge to you to analyze and understand what is good for you and what is not. And many times the problem what happens is while listening and funneling these things, we may listen to all the other things, he may have joked and all, we may note down the jokes, but we may completely omit the part of knowledge which is given to us. I've seen in certain sessions people have written down entire jokes said by a guru also, and they have completely omitted the knowledge part also. So that's the other thing, in other problem which happens with the ego. So we have to be very careful about these things. When I told that there are two ways, either somebody can have a complete focus on the duty, he is a karmanisht, a kartavyanisht, his faith is completely on the duty, he just because it's a duty he will end up doing it. But the problem with that, when you do not get God into the picture and you become the sole old driver of doing your duty, then definitely there is a very high danger that an ego may arise in you that I am so good, I am so perfect. Now when you say that you are perfect, that means there is nobody else who can correct you even if you are wrong. So you have just blocked that complete channel altogether. So these are the three things which I wanted to just talk about, the previous things, about the previous sessions which I've already taken and gone. Now let's go to verse number 38, which we were in the last session. I'll read the verse first. Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayau tato yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam avapsyasi. Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayau tato yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam avapsyasi. So Bhagavan says here that sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayau Tatho yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam avapsya. I took the literal meaning of this in the last session. When I spoke about certain things, I'm just taking your memory back to what I said in the last class. I told the difference between in animals, plants and human. So I said, animals act based on their instincts and impulses. Plants respond on towards the, you know, sunlight and moisture. Whereas man only has the ability, has got the capability to work. Why? Because he has got something called a discriminative intellect to make a, you know, even though impulses and instincts are there in human also, but he has got this rational discriminative intellect to, you know, or decide whether to go with those instincts and impulses, and also to help him stop acting on those impulses and instincts. One example I'll give you there that, you know, we all have seen beehives. Now I'm giving you an example of how animals act according to their instincts and impulses. Now just see the beehive. It's a very complex thing to see. They make such good cubicles, and you know, it is so beautifully made up, you know, in the way for them to reside, store their honey and everything. It's a very beautiful design also. It's a very difficult piece of thing which they make, difficult piece of architecture they do. But we don't congratulate them, even though we appreciate what they do. Why we don't congratulate them? Because right from the time Adam and Eve has been there till today, beehive is exactly made in the same way. Because they make according to their instincts. You know, we would have definitely congratulated them, provided they would have made some changes in their architecture. They may have added a cantilever or porch so that, you know, when the rain comes, they can just, you know, dry themselves up before going inside. We would have definitely congratulated them. Now, the second example I'll give you is cobweb. It's definitely complex. We appreciate it. But it's been the same ever since the creation has been there. Why? Because they do not have the discriminative intellect to make changes, to think and, you know, amend their things. They always act according to their instincts. They, you know, do all these things according to their instincts. They construct and make a place to stay and all those things according to their instincts. And they act according to their impulses also. Impulses of the time, of the moment. Like, for example, if tiger starts chasing a deer, the deer are out of its impulse, know what to do with it. It'll run, you know, try to save itself. They all act according to their instincts and impulses. That's the one thing which I wanted to just highlight there. The second thing I also brought up, which I'm taking in detail right now. Here, Bhagwan is trying to teach us the art of action, art of work. Not exactly action, art of work. Every action is not work. Action is that which when we act according to the impulses and instinct, that becomes action. But actual work is what? When we use our discriminative intellect, we use our wisdom to become constructive in what we do. And I gave you one more example in the last session, which I'm just highlighting here. There are many people who say, I sweat and toil so much, I work so hard, I become so laborious, but nobody appreciates my work. I told you, there is a difference between labor and work. You know, mere sweating and toiling is only labor, it's not work. When you are able to add value to something, what you do, you know, be innovative about certain things, change the way things work, that is actually called work, because there you are using your discriminative intellect. So every act can become a labor also, but it may not become work. When discriminative intellect is used there, that becomes work. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, here he is trying to teach us the real art of work for human beings. And Bhagwan is giving a very, very important statement here. And I told you in the last session also that there are six things which comes out from whatever we work upon. You know, whatever work we do, there are six kind of results we get. Internally, we get sukha and dukkha, which is sorrow and happiness and sorrow, sukha and dukkha. That is the internal result we get. The external form of it is Labh alabh means, gain or loss. Labh means gain and alabh means loss or profit or loss, whichever we call it. Jaya ajaya, victory or defeat. So we need to remember one thing. Even though we may put our hard work, it's not necessary that, everything what we do, we will be winning in everything what we, work upon. That's not necessary here. Because I told you in the last session also, when we work in something and when we devote ourselves into some work, dedicate ourselves to some work, there are some external factors also which play when it comes to giving us the result. It's not that our effort is equal to result. No. Our effort plus external factors is equal to result, actually. That's how we should put it up. So effort plus external factors is equal to result. This is how I will put that way. So, that external factors may or may not be in your control. Some may be in your control, some may not be in your control. So because of that external factor, it is quite possible that sometimes when we work hard also, we may not get at victory all the time. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, be equanimous, be rational, be, within you, be in a balanced form whenever such kind of things come, because these pair of opposites do come as a result of your work. So even when sukha also comes, remain equanimous, maintain your mental tranquility, be balanced. So Bhagwan says, when sukha also comes, do that. Dukha also comes. Same kritva, balance them well. Arjun, same kritva means you have to balance them. When they come, because result will come for sure. It's not that you do act and nothing will come. It's not going to happen. Either of these six will definitely come as a result of your work. So Arjun, balance them, maintain your balance in that kind of work. That is the best way for you to work. And I gave you three kind of people, the three kind of attitude which people work with. One is when you become duty conscious, when you become devoted to your duty, when you have actually firm faith in your duty and you are completely devoted to it, then that duty, the sight of your duty will let you become equanimous in these things. It's a little difficult because everything falls on you. You only have to maintain all those things. And at times, with the gravity of these things when it comes, because here Bhagwan is talking about the six things which come. These can come in varying amount of gravity also. Sometimes dukkha may be too harsh for us to even come through it. It's sukha may be too much for us to just, get engrossed in it so much and get lost also into it. The same goes for, gain and loss also. The same goes for victory and defeat also. So the gravity, the quantum of it changes. So Bhagwan is not talking about quantum here. Bhagwan is saying, Arjun, before you get into work, and I told you in the last class also, this cannot be done when the result comes to you. This preparation has to be done before you get into the work. This attitude you have to set correctly before you get into the work. Not exactly the time of work also, slightly before the work. Just manage your intellect in such a way with this kind of an understanding and I told you, what did I say in the last session? That you should always, in the last shloka also I said that, you should always be prepared for the verse, but do your best. Prepare for the verse. So when we say dukkha, it's the verse. Alap is the verse. Paraja is the verse. So this is continuation of the 37th shloka when Bhagwan said that hatova prapsesi swargam jitva va bhokshase mahim. When he was trying to tell Arjun that, Arjun, prepare yourself for the worst, but do your best. That's the kind of attitude we should get into. Bhagwan is continuing that here and saying that, Arjun, before you get into work, I'm trying to teach you what attitude you should go with into your work before you start it. So, same kritva, you should remember, prepare for the worst, but do your best. When you prepare for the worst and do your best, even if dukkha comes, it is not going to shake you. It is not going to depress you. it is not going to destroy you. Even if loss comes, you will be with your balance. When you have maintained the inner tranquility, when you have maintained your equipoise, when you have maintained your, or you know, oh, what you call that, balance, that will help you to just manage the loss, make you manage the defeat, make you manage yourself with this defeat and loss and dukkha, and also help you that you do not get lost in the whole enjoyment of it. When sukha comes, when the happiness comes, or when profit or gain comes, or when victory comes, don't be overjoyous also in there, that you end up celebrating so much that you know you have lost focus on the work completely, and then you know suddenly you know defeat comes, and because you have been so engrossed in the joy and in the victory and all, that you did not prepare yourself for the defeat and other things, and you completely get depressed and destroyed completely into that. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, this is the attitude we need to remember. That's the first kind of people I talked about, who are duty bound people, who have complete focus on duty. They also can definitely manage this same kritva, they can manage balance between these six things which he spoke about. That's the first kind of people. Second, I told you, which is very, very helpful, is that if we have devotion to God, definitely devotion to God helps us to come over many things which we cannot come over on our own. Our efforts have got limitation because we are not unlimited in our efforts at all. We are not unlimited in our powers also. So our powers are limited. You know, when this comes in varying degrees, some degree when it becomes worse side of, you know, sorrow, or worse side of defeat, or worse side of loss, we get completely destroyed and we derail ourselves in the life, we lose interest in life. Some people, you know, go to commit suicide also. Some people have, you know, no desire to live also. Some people do not know whether they will come out of it also not. And with them going into that, their family who is with them also are forced to go into that. So, you know, Bhagwan says, Arjun, the second kind of people here is those people who have devotion to God. What happens when there is devotion to God? When you have devotion to God, then there is a different attitude which comes in your mind and intellect. That is that whatever comes in your life is His gift to you. His prasada is Ishwar's prasada, is God's gift to you. When it is God's gift to you, then your acceptability of the thing becomes high, because you have already got God into the picture. Why the acceptability is high? Because you know, and I told you in the previous sessions, that remember, God is not sitting there as a judge to, you know, give verdict on us whether we are guilty or we are not guilty. He is not sitting like that. He is not sitting like a revengeful enemy also. He is sitting as a suhrud, is a well-wisher. He is sitting there to help us. He is compassion, he is the ocean of compassion to help us come out of anything, provided we have devotion towards Him. If we do not have devotion, what can He do? You know, one thing I'll mention here, which I'll discuss some other time. You know, God's grace falls on us in two forms. You know, some person asked me this question also, so I'm bringing it up here. They say that, you know, God is omnipresent and He is in and through everything in this creation, which is very, very correct and very true also. If He is in and through this whole creation, He is in every one of us. Yes, that's true. He is in every one of us. That means if He is in every one of us, He is a well-wisher for all of us. Yes, I told that in the last class also. He said that, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. I am a well-wisher for everybody in this creation. Then, if He is a well-wisher for everyone, His grace is on everyone, then why do we need to pray? Why do we need devotion? Because He has got His grace on every one of us. There I want to bring one thing here. You know, God's grace has got two parts that we all need to remember. One is called Samanya Kripa. It's called general grace. One is called Vishesh, the other thing is called Vishesh Kripa. Vishesh Kripa means it's called special grace. Now, the general grace or the common grace definitely falls on each one of us. Then God definitely blesses each one of us, protects each one of us. But then how a bhakta is different, how a devotee becomes different. On devotee, because he has opened his heart to Bhagwan, because he has complete faith in God, for him, God gives something else called a special grace. You know, I'll give you one example here. There are many students in a class, but one student is very, very good, very obedient, respects the teacher very well, and has become a favorite of the teacher. Now, when exam comes, due to reasons outside the control of the student, maybe the student was not well, could not prepare well, there were family circumstances. When the exam comes, he's not able to do his best over there, even though he's a very good student. And teacher knows that very well, he's a very good student. So, you know, he is just losing to pass with a pass mark by only few percentile. At that time, if the teacher knows that student is very good and the student has got good amount of devotion and to the teacher, that teacher can help the student with something called grace mark. The student, with his own ability, may not have been able to do his best to pass that exam, but with the grace mark, he is able to pass. That is what special grace is all about. So, the general grace or the common grace of God is on all of us, and he protects all of us within the limited amount of protection what he can do. When we only don't want to listen to him, then what more he can do? Remember one thing, for jivas, for us, God has done a very beautiful thing. What? His grace is on all of us, but his special grace only goes to those who gets devoted to God. Why special grace goes like that? Because God's grace is on us, but he has given us the choice of action. He doesn't force us to be devoted to him at all. We can choose to go to God, but it is better for us only if we choose to be devoted to God, because remember, this creation is so vast and so complex that there is no way you can protect yourself from every side of everything. In your action also, God's grace is definitely required. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent also. He is all powerful. What his grace can do, you can never understand. So, yes, when we get God into the picture, at that time, this sukha dukhe, labha labhau, jaya jau, same kritva, with the grace of God only comes to us. We are able to maintain that because it's a gift of God. Whatever he gives, when we get God into the picture, we know even if difficult situation comes to us, God is trying to teach me something. He is trying to add capability to me. He is trying to lift me up by giving that also. And when he gives joy also, he has given us. So if we have devotion to him, we will never get lost in the victory. We will never get lost in gain. We will never get lost in our happiness also. So it's easy for us to maintain that balance, that equipoise, that mental tranquility if we get add devotion to the picture. Then I spoke about the third category of people. So one is the person who is completely focused on duty and duty bound. He is completely devoted to his duty. The second is the one who is devoted to God. The third kind of people are those people who fall in general category. Not the general category, the general grace I am talking about. General category means who are neither duty focused, who are neither duty bound and duty devoted, nor they are devoted to God. Then those kind of people, when they get into action, they will never be able to do this sukha dukhe same kritva, labha labhau jaya jayo. Why? Their motive will be what? Their motive will be, what will I get out of this? Show me what result I'll get, then I'll do the action. If you tell me what I'll get, then I'll do this action. And if they feel that what is being given to them is beneficial to them, they will definitely be motivated to work. The problem what happens with this kind of intellect, this kind of an understanding is, these people are only result oriented. Okay? When you become result oriented, then you will definitely not want dukkha, you will never definitely not want sorrow, you will definitely not want loss, you will definitely not want defeat also. So, maintaining balance is not possible. Pujya Swami Subodhananji used to say, when we define people with such kind of a thought process, when they are focused on result, we can divide them into, we can talk about them in two parts. Or we can say they will fall into two categories within that. What are the two categories? Their intellect will be of two kinds. One is either it will be like a childlike intellect, bala buddhi, or it will be like animal-like intellect, pashu buddhi. So their intellect will be like two kinds. Why he used childlike intellect? You know, to motivate a child, what the parents do, they show that child something which is attractive to the child. Seeing that attractive thing which the child wants to gain, the child will be motivated to stand up, walk, crawl. That is how parents train the child. So it's like, you know, when you are shown some fruit, you are interested in it because you have a childlike intellect that, fruits only motivate you. That's the first kind of thing. The second kind of thing I spoke about is what? Animal kind of an intellect or pashu buddhi. Pashu buddhi is what? You know, when you keep green grass in hand, a cow will definitely follow you. Let me take a different example to explain you. For a dog, you show something in which a dog is excited to eat, the dog will definitely run after you. Rather, it will start to become and start to act like it is completely devoted to you. It will run after you and it will never leave you only. But remember, don't be so harsh that, you know, you hide that thing which is to be given to the dog in there. Dog won't, the moment it stops seeing that thing, it will not run after you. You know, in between, keep showing the fruit to the dog. Keep showing the eatable thing to the dog will definitely run after you, it will definitely chase you. It's called bala buddhi, shwana buddhi or pashu buddhi, whichever way you call it. So, you know, these are the three kind of intellects I spoke about. So, I spoke about first who is duty bound, the second one I spoke about who is, devoted to God. The first one is devoted to duty, the second one is devoted to God. The third person and is neither devoted to God nor devoted to duty. So that person is actually only taking or looking after the result. He's only focused on the result. Only results interest him. That kind of a person, I said, will never be able to do this what Bhagwan is telling here. Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labho jayajyo. That is not possible for that kind of a person. So what happens to such person? Then I split that third category of person who is only result oriented or result focused as into two parts. Either that person will be having a childlike intellect to, you know, look for the fruit or look for the result and run after that result and get motivated with that result, or it will be like a animal kind of a thing that they will run after that to just chase the result. They will chase the result. They will not chase the person. They have no devotion to the person over there. So then Bhagwan says, with this in mind, you know, Arjun, tataha yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam avapsasi. If you get into doing your duty, yuddhaya is for Arjun. If Arjun, you get into this fight with this kind of an intellect, with this kind of an understanding, Bhagwan is saying, Arjun, I guarantee you, you will not inherit any kind of sin. Now, the one thing I want to highlight here, why Bhagwan is using the word sin here? Because in front of Arjun, what is the duty there? Is to fight. So, what indication Bhagwan is giving here to Arjun? Arjun, if with this kind of an intellect, if with this kind of an understanding, you get into this fight, you participate in this fight, I guarantee you, even if by your action, even if by your work, all these people standing in front of you get killed. That's the kind of indication Bhagavan is giving here. If all of them get killed by your hands, all of them get killed in this war, then also, Arjun, na evam papam avapsesi, I guarantee you are not going to inherit any kind of sin. Sin is not going to touch you only. So the message for us is very clear here. Bhagavan is saying, Arjun, if we are able to maintain this thing, we are able to cultivate this kind of mental attitude, we are able to cultivate this kind of intellectual understanding before we get into any work, that we have to maintain balance, equipoise, mental tranquility, whether sukha or dukkha comes, whether labha, whether victory or defeat comes, whether gain or loss comes, if we are able to do it, then Arjun, and Bhagavan is telling through Arjun to us that trust me, even while doing your work, there is some kind of action which happens through you, which is not right. Trust me, you are not going to inherit any sin at all. Because your focus is on duty. Your devotion is to God. Devoted to God, you are doing your duty. Remember, when I said about devotion to God, when you're devoted to God, you will definitely get devoted to duty also, because duty is then God given to you. So I will just highlight the portions of Bhagavan Shankaracharya's Bhashya here. He says, sukha dukhe same tulye kritva, by maintaining in balance between them, by considering sukha and dukkha as equal, tulya means they are the same, they are just result of the work I have done, they're just the result of action. Tulya kritva, by maintaining this firm resolve inside you that they are both equal only in terms of result. Kritva raga dvesha akritva iti. Now this is a very good point. When he says sukha dukhe same tulya kritva, when you are able to maintain this kind of intellectual understanding, that you are able to maintain a balance, mental equanimity, mental tranquility, equanimity within you, when a sukha or dukkha comes, then when you are able to do that, then one thing more you will end up doing is raga dvesha akritva. When you are able to maintain balance between sukha and dukkha, whenever it comes, then trust me, you will never have any kind of attachment or any kind of revengeful nature at the end of work also. What happens, the thing which happens with us is, for example, if we do some work and the result of the work is sorrow, trust me, if we do not have this attitude, if the result of the work is sorrow, whosoever is the cause of that sorrow or towards whom you did that work and because of whom that work failed, it is but natural for us to develop an avengeful, revengeful attitude towards them, dvesha towards them. That's a natural thing which will come with that. For the third category of people I spoke about, when they are result oriented and the result doesn't come, it is but natural that they will generate dvesha or avengeful nature for those people because of whom the sorrow came. And the other way is that because of whose participation sukha came, the happiness came, it is natural that they will develop some kind of love or attachment towards them. This is going to happen. Raga dvesha akritva iti etat. Tatha labha alabhau jaya jayau cha samokritva. Then you have to maintain a balance between in gain or loss also, and victory and defeat also, samokritva. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva ghatasva. Then you go and enjoin yourself into this duty. And your duty is what? To fight here. Arjun, I'm talking about Arjun here. You just enjoin yourself into this duty. If you are able to maintain this kind of intellect, develop this kind of an understanding, and then you go and join this war, trust me, you will never get any kind of attachment. Also, at the end of the work, you will never get any kind of avengeful thought process also inside you at the end of the work. Na evam yuddham kurvan, papam avapsyasi iti esha upadesha prasangikaha. He says, if you do not end up, why Bhagavan is bringing up papam here? Arjun, if you do not get into this war, into this fight, with this kind of an attitude, with this kind of a thought process, it is but natural, by not doing your duty, you are definitely going to inherit sin. That is the kind of message Bhagwan is wanting to give Arjun here. Then he says, Shoka moha apanayanaya laukiko nyayah swadharmam api chavekshya iti adyai shlokaihi uktah natu tatparyena. Bhagwan is saying, Bhagwan Shankaracharya is talking here. From these shloka, swadharmam api chavekshya onwards, what Bhagwan said from the shloka, from there onwards, is in through these shloka, Bhagwan is giving us technique to, you know, distance the shoka and moha, the sorrow and the delusion which arises is out of our worldly act. Act that is what Bhagwan is trying to tell us through these shloka, from these swadharmam api chavekshya onwards. But from a final truth standpoint, in these shlokas doesn't stand from that final truth standpoint, which Bhagwan explained from 11th shloka onwards. Paramartha darshanam tu iha prakritam tat cha uktam upasamharati esha tebihita iti shastra vishaya vibhaga pradarshanaya. Now from here onwards, from 39th shloka onwards, 39th verse onwards, Bhagwan himself is initiating a change in the topic. And that's what Bhagwan Shankaracharya in his Sambandh Bhashya is bringing up here, connecting the 38th shloka to 39. Till 38, he spoke about how you should do your duty. And in the 38th one, he spoke about the attitude in work. From the next shloka onwards, he is going to change the topic. Now he is going to give a different topic. He is starting from there. One more thing I wanted to say. This attitude, this shloka, this verse 38, we all need to underline, because Bhagwan is going to bring up this topic in the coming shlokas also. In the 48th shloka, Bhagwan is going to bring up one point there, which I'm just jumping there and bringing up here, so that we can highlight this portion. The attitude which Bhagwan is teaching us here, sukha dukhe same kritva labha labho jaya jayo, Bhagwan is going to pick up the same thing in the 48th shloka also, when he will use one word called samatvam yoga uchyate. He is going to say that at Arjun, what I call yoga, what I call literally to enjoin ourselves, samatvam, which samatvam, samatvam means equanimity. That samatvam Bhagwan has already picked up in the 38th shloka. Arjun, if you can cultivate that, this is what I am going to call as yoga. And then in the shloka number 50, he is going to bring what will happen if you are able to develop this kind of an attitude in work. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. This kind of a yoga, if you are able to develop, it is going to make you a perfectionist in work. Karmasu kaushalam, it will make you really, really capable in work. It will make you, your work show class apart. It will make you perform in a very class manner. Karmasu kaushalam, you will become superior in your work. You will become perfect in your work. You will become best in your work. That I will take up when those shlokas come. But I'm just trying to highlight here so that, we are able to underline this shloka number, verse number 38. It and when we'll come there, we'll take it back again. Now, Bhagwan Shankaracharya says also, Ihahi darshate punah shastra vishaya vibhage uparishtat jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam iti nishthadvaya vishayam shastram sukham pravartishyate shrotarah cha vishaya vibhagena sukham grihishyanti iti ata aha. Now, since Bhagwan is going to show us two different sides of knowledge now, from the coming shloka onwards, 39th onwards, when he says jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam, he is going to talk about two kinds of faith. Okay? Two kinds of faith, and he is going to talk about the subject of scripture, subject of Sanatan Dharma scripture, which is going to talk about two kinds of faith. He is going to explain it very happily here. Or, you know, because these kind of understandings will give us happiness internally. And he wants all of us, Shrotara cha, Vishaya Vibhagena Sukham Grahishyanti Iti Ata Aha. And he wants us to happily listen to this is with focus, with full attention, and so that these things are internalized by us, these things are accepted by our buddhi, our intellect in a correct manner. He says in the 39th shloka, I'll read the shloka 39th. Esha te bihita sankhye buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi esha te bihita sankhye buddhiryoge tvimam shrunu buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Now this is the very interesting side which Bhagavan is going to bring out. He says, Arjun, he partha, the address is partha here, which is in this shloka, the second, third part of the shloka, when he says buddha yukto yaya partha. That partha is actually Sambodhana Prathama here. So he addresses him as He Partha. Now remember, in the previous shloka, he had addressed as Kaunteya. He was trying to bring, he was calling Arjuna as Kaunteya. Kaunteya means Kunti Putra. Partha also means Prithaya Putra. Prithaya means Kunti only. But why he is addressing with two different names? I told you every address has got a different meaning altogether. There, he is wanting to highlight Kunti there. Why? Because by the name of Kunti, she had lot of struggle in life, and she has struggled a lot to bring up these five and make them capable. She has really struggled and sacrificed a lot as Kunti there. Now, Pritha was her name before marriage actually. Prithaya Putra. Pritha was her name there. So, why he is bringing up Pritha here? Because as Pritha also before marriage, Kuntiji's life was very devoted to God. She is a very, very pious, devoted lady. So he is wanting to bring attention of Arjun towards the piousness of his mother, towards the devotion of his mother, towards the actual understanding of his mother towards God and everyone, her faith in everything. Why he is wanting to bring that? Because he wants to draw Arjun's attention in the same way. He wants Arjun to listen to this thing attentively. He wants Arjun to pay complete attention here. It's not that Arjun is not giving attention. That's not what I meant. And I meant to say that, through Arjun, Bhagwan is wanting us to listen to this topic pretty carefully. Because remember, from here, some shlokas are going to become a little difficult to understand. If you do not pay complete attention, there is a very high chance of misunderstanding or slipping in from the actual understanding. So he addresses Arjuna as, Hey Partha, Esha te abhita sankhye. So this shloka has to be split in this way. Hey Partha, Esha buddhi te sankhye abhita. Now this word here, Esha te abhita sankhye buddhi. Now this buddhi word will go on both sides. Here Bhagavan is talking about two different kind of understandings. I told you before also. And let me just say that, what kind of understanding he's talking about. One, he is talking about sankhya, and another one is talking about yoga. So these are the two things, two topics he's talking about here. He's splitting the topic from here. He's saying that Arjun, he partha, esha buddhi te sankhya abhita. Till now, from 11 onwards, 11th verse onwards till 30 what I spoke about, that topic is called sankhya. That understanding which I gave you is called sankhya. That understanding is buddhi, that intellect, intellectual understanding which I gave you, he partha, esha buddhi te is sankhya abhihita. Whatever I explained you, whatever I expounded of it about to you, whatever I elaborately spoke about abhihita, whatever I ukta, abhita means ukta here, whatever I said till now, is that what subject is called Sankhya. Okay, now I come to that point and what Sankhya means. But before that, let me just connect the other side of the shloka also, the split part of it. We need to understand there is a slip here. You know, many times when people read this shloka, they say, Esha te e Sankhya abhihita, buddhi yoge tu imam shrunu. But that's not correct. Actually, the buddhi word here goes with both sides. So it should be read in this way. He partha, esha buddhi te sankhya abhihita. And the next portion is, yoge tu imam buddhim shrunu. Okay. Now, I till now explained and expounded upon the topic called Sankhya, the subject called Sankhya. From here on, I am going to expound upon a new topic called Yoga. Please understand and create an understanding of this in your intellect. Imam Buddhim Shrunu. Understand this, create an understanding of this in your intellect. Or create an intellectual understanding of this subject now. So that's what Bhagwan is trying to say. Now let me just come back to the first portion of the shloka here. When he says, hey Partha, Sankhya. Sankhya means what? Now, Sankhya word in Sanskrit comes from Khya Dhatu. Okay? Khya Dhatu means to explain. Khya Dhatu comes from the word explanation. It comes from the word to explain. So, here, Bhagwan says, Arjun, what do you need to, what have I given you till now? Sankhya means what I have explained. Khya Dhatu comes from explanation. What I have explained you till now, Arjun? I have explained you in the subject of Sankhya. Sankhya here means, now the full word it comes from Khya Dhatu. Khya Dhatu, Khya means to explain and to say. And the word is built with this way. Samyak Khyayate iti Sankhya. That which have been explained well. Now, oh, what is explained well here? No, the word Sankhya need to be understood a little bit. So I'm explaining it to you here. Sankhya word has got three meanings here. Okay. The first meaning of Sankhya is that process, that step-by-step process by which something is explained to you. That is called Sankhya. Something is explained to you well. You need to understand. Samyak. Samyak means well. By that process, that step-by-step methodology by which something is explained to you well is called Sankhya. That's the first meaning of Sankhya. The second meaning of the word Sankhya is by that process, by that step-by-step process, that kind of a firm intellectual understanding which one reaches, that is also called Sankhya. Okay? That firm understanding which one forms, the firm conclusion which one arrives at, with that step-by-step process or methodology of teaching is also called Sankhya. That's the second meaning of Sankhya. The third meaning of Sankhya is that person who has listened to this step-by-step methodology of teaching and has arrived at a firm intellectual understanding of that subject, that person is also called Sankhya. Now here the word Sankhya will go for actually Brahmajnana. Brahmajnana means the knowledge about Supreme Consciousness. The knowledge about Supreme Consciousness which Bhagwan started to give to Arjuna from 11th verse onwards, 11th shloka onwards. And you must have, I've already taken up, in the 17th shloka, that firm intellectual conviction or understanding, Bhagwan is saying what? Avinashi tu tad vidhi yena sarvamidam tatam. Arjun, know that self, know that supreme consciousness to be avinashi, to be indestructible. Indestructible. Tu tad vidhi, you should know that supreme consciousness to be indestructible. What is the nature of that supreme consciousness? Yena sarvamidam tatam, by which this entire creation is completely pervaded. There is no portion in this creation which is not pervaded by the self. There is no place in this creation which is not pervaded by that supreme consciousness, which is, I'm using the word as self. So Arjun, about that I have already given you from 11th onwards up to 30. Because you did not understand, I took a different route from there to explain you the same supreme consciousness and its role vis-a-vis your own duty, your sadharma, which I explained from 31 to 37. In 38th verse, I gave you the art of working. I gave you the science of working. I gave you the attitude of working. Not exactly the art or science of working, the attitude of working. By which attitude you should get into work. So that I gave you in the 38th shloka. So Arjun, esha te ibida, that's what I've explained you till now. That's that self-knowledge, that knowledge about the supreme consciousness, te abhita. I've already explained you well till now. Now, he says, from here, yogetu imam buddhim shrunu. Now from here, listen about the art of yoga, the science of yoga, the science of action. Yoga here means a science of action, which Bhagwan is going to elaborate in the next chapter, the chapter 3, as karma yoga. Karma yoga is about the science of action. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, now yoge tu imam buddhim shrunu. From now on, I am going to expound upon the topic of, about the subject of the science of action and how to do action and which way to do. Attitude of action, I have told you in the 38th shloka. Now I am going to tell you the science of action, by which attitude you should, by which way you should do action, how actions have to be performed, along with the attitude which you have to maintain, which I spoke to you about in the 38th verse. Then he says, buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prayas prahasyasi. He says, Arjun, what will happen? Now he has to give a motivating statement also. Bhagwan is advertising this himself because he has got no marketing channel or anything. He is advertising this buddhi himself. I told you, Bhagwan Krishna is the biggest proponent of karma yoga. And I think Bhagwan is going to lay a lot of emphasis on the art of working, the art of working. Why? Because this Bhagavad Gita knowledge is being given to general public to just understand how to work in this world. By working itself, how to liberate yourself. By working itself, how to improve yourself. By working itself, how to evolve. Bhagwan is going to tell you from this action. He says, Arjun, buddhya yuktaha yaya partha, he partha, yaya buddhya yuktah, by gaining this understanding, by gaining this intellectual understanding about this yoga buddhi, by gaining this intellectual understanding about this yoga, the science of action, karma bandham prahasyasi, you are going to get liberated from the bondage of action. It is going to help you cross over the bondage of action. Before I end the session today, I want to say one thing here, and you just take it back and think before our next session. Think over it from your own perspective, all of you. What is the nature of an action? Every action binds us. Every action binds. Think over it. I'll explain you in the next session. Kayena vacha manasendriya irva buddhyatmana va prakrute swabhavat karomi adya sakalam parasmai narayanaeti samarpayami shriman narayanaeti samarpayami om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate. Om Shanti Shantihi Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. हरि ओम ओम तत्सत्।